AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
School of Humans.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cadaver Gals, the podcast where we talk about all of the ways that people have died throughout history to cope with our own mortality. I'm your host, Taylor, along with Gabby.
Hi.
And Nika.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Okay. So today we're going to hear about the death of an 18th century thief and a murderous woman.
Love when a woman is murderous. Yummy.
So today's trigger warnings, they're intense, you guys. They include poison, hanging, explicit talk of penis and vagina, murder,
penis,
torture,
vagina,
and rape.
Penis,
so
penis,
these
penis.
Are oh. bad. Yep, rape, that's really bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, it's intense. So you've been warned. Cue the music. Okay, we loved that music as usual. Before we get into it, I'm just really curious, Gabby. I need to know how you came across your story today. We all have our ways of finding things, but I just feel like you found this in a weird way or something. I don't know.
Well, I Googled boner death.
Okay.
And nice. So this is how I got to this one. You know, you do that and then you look at Wikipedia for a while and then you're like, oh, here's something interesting. And then you kind of like go off. You just go off. And that's what happened.
That's our very journalistic way of researching.
Great.
Yeah. And one day I will donate to Wikipedia, but it is not this day.
But you just like randomly thought boner death. You were like,
Okay,
surely.
Well, I have been thinking a lot about boners in space for like this joke I've been doing. So I was like, we already had done some space death. So I was like, what about
boner
just regular bone? Because you can't get a boner in space, which I know is disappointing to everyone.
Oh,
you can, but it's very hard. It's hard.
Wait, very hard,
like hard in the haha way or hard in the...
It's difficult to get hard in space because like your testosterone. Also like ladies... are people with vaginas also difficult to get aroused? So it's just also in space, your libido drops a lot. So you don't even want to have sex and space. So I don't know where we're going, honestly.
Okay,
so.
Literally, Elon Musk, think about that. What is wrong with you? How are we going to procreate if we cannot get horny in space?
That's true. Very
That's
valid.
The thing, you know, because it's like, I can't mess around with these limp dick motherfuckers anymore. So
it's actually really sad, too, because I was thinking about my sexual attraction to the aliens in Alien. And now that makes me sad because I'm like, wait. Would I not be horny for them in space? Would they have to come down to Earth to ravish me?
Okay. Yeah, that's why we have to save the planet is so, because the best boner you can get is on this planet. So that's my appeal to people. Okay. Right, anyway, yeah. this is, Taylor was like, let's not have a chaotic intro, but I'm glad it then became a chaotic post intro. So this is actually, we're going to the 18th century. Okay. No space. There's no space in this. Just boners, maybe.
Space Spoilers. Is there.
Space is
That's
there.
That's why there are more babies.
There are more babies?
More orphan children. Yeah, because people were actually horny in the 18th century.
But most of them, like, died.
Early.
It's like 1 in 5 children at this point were probably dying of smallpox. So this is like 17... early 1700s, and we're talking about this guy named Jack Shepherd, and he was a super famous thief. He had like a great moment in like 1724, because not only was he a thief, he also was able to escape from prison 4 times.
Good for him.
I know, good for fucking him. But yeah, so he was born into a pretty poor family and started working in carpentry. But then, you know, he started boozing and getting with the ladies of the night, you know.
As they do.
As you be doing. And one time at this bar he would go to, he met this dude who was like, hey, you should just like start stealing stuff if you want money. So he was like, that's a great idea. So, you know, he was thieving and shit, but, you know, he got arrested, right? But that's when, you know, he started escaping from prisons. And he did it, as I said, 4 times, which is incredible. The first time, what he did was he crawled through the ceiling of his cell because it was just like a bunch of wood. And then it was funny because there's like a crowd that like gathered around the prison. They're like, hey, someone's escaping up there. But he had already kind of escaped and gotten down from the roof. And he joined the crowd and it was like, yeah, someone's escaping. We got to go find him, dudes.
Oh, my God.
And then he scampered away because, you know, he was good at distracting people. You know, a little misdirect, a little thief action.
He's
there.
He's like a magician.
Yeah, he was great. And the second time he and his lady lover, who was a lady of the night, they both were arrested. And basically he was able to get out of the window. And, you know, he had tied all like the bed blankets together as like a rope. And something that people always remarked on was like he was a very small dude and his lady lover was a very large lady. So people were like, wow, he's so strong lowering his lady love.
Love that. That's great. Yeah. Also, I am trying to find pictures of him to see if he was hot. It seemed like he sported a buzz cut at one point, which
I mean,
you know,
no, he had a ponytail and stuff. He just had like some people said like his hairline was really far back, but they say he was very handsome. So
okay, that's good to know.
Short king life, I suppose.
Short king and lack of hairline life.
And
you know?
Ponytail. Great.
Well, he did.
And a ponytail.
Well, no, it was just there was this one picture of him in prison that someone had drawn. And then someone did a print of it a few years later. And they had made his hairline further back. And apparently that was something people needed to comment on as like a historical piece of evidence for something. I don't know what the evidence is or like what the representation of like that hairline is. But people were talking about it. Okay. But... Okay. His third time he escaped, they were like, okay, this motherfucker is like good at escaping. So we should like, you know, take some more precautions. But they didn't take that many precautions. So what he had done is in the door of his cell, like at the top, there were some bars. And so he was able to file one of the bars out. And then his lady lover and this other friend of his, two women, they came into the prison to visit him. And what they did was one of the ladies started flirting with the guard, you know, to distract him. And then his lady lover gave him a dress, basically some women's clothes. So he wore he put the women's clothes on and snuck out through this bar he had filed down. And, you know, if a man is just dressed in women's clothes, you just can't tell anymore, you know, I guess. Well, also, it's like 2 women went in and 3 women came out. So I'm just like, you got, what the fuck, dude?
Also, to file down some bars, that would probably take some time. Like, they weren't checking in on him.
Yeah, they weren't.
So that's
on
them.
Because he, like, filed it, and then he made sure he would, like, put the bar back in, like, you know, when they were, like, passing by. So, okay. And also, he, like, was able to shimmy through the space. Because, again, he was small. He was a small little dude. The fourth time, they were like, okay, let's take this seriously, right? And he was put into this cell that was called the castle, that was like in the center of the prison. And he was like chained in irons, and he was like chained to the ground and stuff. But he like was very easy. It was very easy for him to like get out of his chains, and he would like walk around his cell being like, nah.
How? Little dude. Get out of mischievous.
He was just like, I think if he had any sort of thing, he could like pick a lock, basically, it seemed. And anyway, for this one, he like somehow like was able to like scurry through a chimney at some point. And then he would like go back through the prison. He was like, oh, I need to go back to my cell to get some things now. So, I mean, he was just like walking around and just like he got escaped again. And then he like got on top of the roof of the prison, jumped to a neighboring house, broke into the house, just like walked through the house. Nobody noticed. And then just like went to go, thieving and whoring. So
that's a very different kind of...
just like my ex. I'm not kidding. I really think my ex is like the reincarnation, down to the same name. Literally. Small, mischievous, same name, like what, charismatic. Ugh.
And you are just a large lady of the night, you know. But then anyway, Jack, he then, because, you know, he was like a big alcoholic and doing like very nefarious, obviously. He didn't seem to be too cautious about the whole... He was also, at this point, he had been like sentenced to death for thieving. So he should have maybe kept his guard up. But what he did instead was he robbed this pawn shop. And then he was like walking around town wearing these like really fancy clothes. Like he was wearing like a black silk suit, and he had a sword and all these rings. Oh. And he had these two mistresses he had been hanging out with. And he finally was arrested again. And he was like blind drunk. And then they put him in like another cell, where they like chained him down with like 350 pounds of like irons and stuff. And then at that point he couldn't escape. But also then like he was already, this was all happening in 1724. And so like he was becoming very popular. Like after his second escape, people were like, this motherfucker is cool as hell, you know, because he like came from a poor family. And so he was became the symbol for like the lower class, and everyone was like really on his side. But unfortunately, the fifth time he was arrested, he was unable to escape. He tried several times, but it just didn't work. But it was also funny because while he was in prison, like rich ladies would like come and they would like pay money to like come look at him, you know, because they're like, oh, this guy's so cool, you know.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So this story is kind of what happened next is very similar to that time I was talking about, that lady, Elizabeth Brownrigg, who had killed her apprentice in 18th century London. So he was...
Oh, I remember her well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was also sentenced to hang at Tyburn, which was like the famous gallows at that point. But he was super popular. And so like 200,000 people allegedly came out to come see him get hanged. And that was at the time, that was a third of the population of London.
Lord.
And also usually they would hang a bunch of people at once, but they were just going to hang him by himself because, you know, he was so high profile or whatever.
They were like, how's he going to escape this one?
How's he going to escape? And like, he did have a plan. He had several plans that were all thwarted. And then his final plan was that they were going to let him hang. And then his friends, like after he got hanged, they were going to cut him down and they were going to rush him to a doctor to try to revive him. Because sometimes people would survive a hanging. And because he was small, that meant, you know, there was going to be less pressure. So it was more likely that he was going to, not that it's likely that you're going to survive a hanging, but it was like more likely that you would survive because your weight is not able to kill you. So you're just like immensely suffering or whatever, or it just takes you a long time to die. The problem is that everybody else who was there in the crowd also knew that. And they're like, hey, we need to be great to this guy. We need to give him a quick death. So when he was hanged, everyone like pulled his legs down so he would die faster.
Oh,
so it wouldn't be as painful. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to be helpful, but that also like thwarted their plan. But their plan was also probably not going to be successful. Anyway, so alas, he couldn't be revived. There is no revival. But wait, there was some sort of a revival. Okay. Basically, it was reported that when he was hanged, after he died, he got a boner.
Oh, okay.
Here's where the boners come in. Okay. That's right. It's a hanged man's boner. Or maybe he was a hung man's boner. I don't know. I don't know what he had. Okay.
That wasn't reported, just his hairline.
Just his hairline. But people, I mean, there was this one documentary that apparently repeatedly said, like, yes, he had a boner after he died. But the thing is, this is apparently very common for people who get hanged. At some point, they're saying, like, within London, like, 1 in 3 people who are hanged would have a boner of dudes. They would get a boner after they were hanged.
Oh, my goodness.
So just because I guess it, like, feels really good. No.
Yay!
And this thing is called, it's called a death erection, or they also call it angel lust. Cute little name for it.
That's sweet.
And what they're thinking that kind of happens is like the pressure on the cerebellum, like from the noose. And this is also like associated, like people who don't die, this is also associated with people who have spinal cord injuries, where sometimes you will just randomly get a boner. And that's also called priapism, which is where you get like a boner for too long, and usually it's not coming from like sexual stimulation. So it's a thing where people sometimes they just be having boners out of nowhere. A nowhere boner.
That sounds painful. That sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, and also priapism is named after the Greek god Priapus, who was the protector of male genitalia. Basically, he had been cursed by Hera, Zeus's wife, to have inconvenient impetus. So basically, he would never be able to get aroused when he wanted to. But then all the rest of the time, he was cursed of like having a huge boner erection. So
what a joker she was.
Is. What a silly gal.
Yeah, and then so Priapus was like thrown down to earth. And he was obviously really mad that he couldn't have, you know, sex when he wanted to. And this one time he tried to rape this other goddess. But then this donkey like started braying. And so she woke up. So he wasn't able to do that. And that's why he hated donkeys. And he was like, yeah, you sacrificed donkeys to me because they got in my way, got in the way of my rape. So Priapus, what a guy.
What a guy.
Yeah. And also, I mean, this can happen to women too, where you like get horny by accident and you don't want to, and that's called priapussy.
No, it's not.
It's not, but that was fun for me to say.
Oh, you're so silly.
With hanged women, it does happen where it's just like your parts of your vagina can get engorged, and sometimes like people have seen like redness in the labia, and then also like sometimes you bleed from your vagina when you get hanged. So
oh my gosh.
So I'm just saying, if anyone's kind of like, you know, you're kind of like a private person and you're getting hanged like with dudes, I would suggest like maybe wearing some loose clothing, you know, probably like don't get hanged in like a latex suit, or people will see, you know, your boner. You know, maybe just a loose pant will be good for you. Just some advice.
Heard good to know.
And also like when Nico, you know, during that story with Elizabeth, Nico was talking about how like people would go and like touch dead men after they're hanged for like medicinal purposes. You know, people obviously also thought, you know, these boners were good luck. So there have been a few cases where they were chopped off and people got to have the boners. And there were and there was this museum in London that recently acquired an 18th century boner. And
I am furiously Googling right now.
And it's funny because it was also, the boner was like pretty expensive, so they had to like rent it for like £2,500 or something to put it on display. So
oh my gosh, I found it.
Yeah, they don't know if it's for real, but they're like pretty sure it's a real boner. But
you guys, anyway, yesterday I was with my best friend and we are planning this trip to Iceland, and so we were like looking at stuff in Iceland, and there's a penis museum, and it's like all of the different kind of mammal species penis in that are in Iceland in this museum. So we were like, we were sitting there and we were like, okay, I mean, obviously we go. And then we were like, but wait a minute. But then we've wasted time in Iceland at a penis museum, question mark.
Not wasted time, dude.
Used successfully. Also, this boner almost made me throw up. I truly almost threw up in my mouth. We're gonna post it on Instagram, but we're gonna end up being reported, but we'll post it on Instagram anyways.
Did you throw up because it made you gag, you know, like?
No. Oh, it literally, okay. It's veiny and okay, black, and like you can see some redness in like the veins where like part of blood was. It's rock hard, but I personally am not into it.
Yeah,
thank you.
But I mean, okay, that's the thing, they haven't verified you know, how real this boner is. So we don't know just yet.
Great.
But priapism is something that does be happening. And this one little last thing I want to say is that it can also result, or the death erection can also result from other injuries you might have, particularly ones that affect the spine. And one last thing I will say is that there was a lot of art during the Renaissance period that portrayed Jesus Christ as having a big ass boner in the resurrection. A lot of that was suppressed by the church, obviously, because they don't want to be seen. Also, baby Jesus would have like a big dick too. Oh. And like a lot of this art. And so, you know, maybe like a crucifixion or like him being resurrected, you know, maybe he had a boner too when he came back. I don't know. Apparently these Renaissance people thought that was the case. I mean, they're trying to be like, let's show his humanity. And I guess humanity is having a boner. So
yeah, apparently humanity means you're well endowed.
Yeah, humanity. I guess all of my exes aren't human. No, I'm just kidding.
Very funny.
Silly. But yeah,
let's talk shit about our exes this episode.
But yeah, I just think there was this dude though who wrote a whole book about Jesus boners in Renaissance art. And you know, it's like some dudes will just like write a whole book about Jesus's boner when they could just like go to therapy instead. But you know.
And you can find that book at cadavergals.com.
It was written by Gabby Watts when I was 4 years old. So yeah. Okay, that's the hanged man's boner.
Thank you, story. Gabby. Yeah, that was fantastic. I feel like we're all the wiser now.
Yes.
Thank you for that. We'll be right back.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you are still listening. Gabby was very kind to send me a TED Talk to further elaborate on some other strange medical phenomena. So, orgasms, yay! So, apparently, there's this spot on the lower part of your back that, if stimulated, can result in an orgasm. And so, this area is the sacral nerve, which is...
Send me the link!
No, it gets better. So, it's called the sacral nerve, and it is located, like, in the lower part of your back, and it descends down into the pelvis. So, I was like, okay, that's interesting. So, then I come across this woman's video that said that she was like with this guy and he started kind of like rubbing her lower back with like the palm of his hand. And she was like, okay, this is great. Love this. And so apparently she was like, how did you do that? Where did this come from? And so he was like, oh, I learned it in like Kama Sutra or whatever. And so apparently there's this spot in the lower part of your back then that can help you to orgasm if stimulated properly.
Nice.
Yeah. So in 2004, there was this woman who went to the doctor for chronic back pain. So they were like doing this study. And so they like did this spinal cord stimulator thing that was surgically placed in her lower back area. It's like the size of a pacemaker. And like you have this remote control that triggers these electrodes, which successfully reduced her back pain.
Oh, no.
But
oh, no. I'm scared.
When they tried it, the doctor was like, okay, she like started moaning and like hyperventilating. And so she like stopped it and she was like, what's going on? And she said, please teach my husband how to do this.
That is hilarious.
And so.
Wait, so they basically put a vibrator in her back.
Yeah. So her brain basically, so it reduced her back pain too. She was like, back pain, less of a thing. And then, but her brain interpreted it as also an orgasm. So they decided to call this device the Orgasmatron.
Oh my gosh.
Spinal cords be nuts.
Yeah, because I mean, it can, like, there's all these, you know, when you like, I don't know, say like you pull a hair or something on your leg, but then like you feel it somewhere else. It's crazy, you know? You ever had that?
Mm-hmm. I have no fucking idea what you're talking about, Tammy. Gabby. But yes, I hear you.
No, like if you have...
Yeah, if like with acupuncture and stuff where you have like different pressure points in your body and like being like acupunctured there, you can then like that changes things up here, you know? Shit yeah. Like that.
What if that happens like at the chiropractor though? Like he's chiropracting you and then does the orgasmic sacral whatever.
I don't think... No,
he's going to put it on TikTok, dude. You can't trust a chiropractor. They're all over TikTok.
That's actually true. And they're all super buff for no reason.
And they're all just like really like bro-y dudes. We're going to crack this old lady's back. And she's like, and then they're just like, we're going to keep doing it. Yes.
Anyway, so the Orgasmatron, there we have it. Okay. So this device has actually been approved by the FDA for bladder problems and back pain. But side effects... orgasm. But literally you have this like remote control that like turns it on or off. So you can literally have this remote control that triggers an orgasm. And so anyway, so back to this TED Talk that Gabby sent was with Mary Roach. And she suggested that in instances where a person has died but is on a ventilator, you know, to keep organs alive for like transplant and stuff, suggested that you could give a cadaver an orgasm by stimulating this sacral nerve. So
I'm just sharing knowledge with the world
about but like, what are we talking about?
But like it's seemingly somehow probably related to this hanging boner problem, right? Perhaps.
Is it a problem?
I mean, I don't know.
Basically, we're talking about boners from the great beyond.
Yep.
So, God's boner.
So anyway, Mary Roach, she like suggests this and she's like, we should do a study. And they're like, okay, you get that approved. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, so anyway.
But to be completely clear, it would be with the Orgasmatron, right? Not like with someone's hands just like jacking a corpse's
No, yeah. Cock. No. It would be to to massage the sacral nerve or use...
Okay.
Yes.
Not like... Okay.
I love the scientific language you just used, Mika. Jack the cadaver's cock or whatever.
No.
The JCC.
That is like, if you are applying for research for this topic, that's probably not the language you should use.
This TED Talk, Gabby, I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to stress me out with this. But it was actually very interesting. She explained a few different instances of people having unique orgasmic situations, if you will. Another one that she had mentioned is this woman who sadly, or not sadly, I guess it depends on how you look at it, every single time she brushed her teeth, she got an orgasm. I digress. Mika, feel free to change the topic, if you will,
I'm so ready to change the topic. I have a story that does not involve dicks, unless you're talking about men in general. Because then it does involve dicks. Okay, so we're going back to the year 1620.
Yes.
In Palermo, Italy, where this woman called Giulia Tofana was born. Yes, we're going all the way back. Now, not much is known about her upbringing, other than the fact that she grew up around apothecaries and became very knowledgeable in plants and herbs and medicines. And she worked with her mother. She was a witch.
I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, maybe, but who knows? But her mother, she also knew a lot about, oh my God, potion making. So I guess maybe they were witches. Okay, anyway. Now, this became even more apparent when her mother poisoned her husband and obviously Julia's dad in 1633 when Julia was only 13 years old. Ooh, sad. So she was sentenced to a swift execution, which left Julia orphaned. But not to worry, because thanks to her time with her mom at the apothecaries, she had all the tools that she needed to take care of herself and kind of thrive. And so she started a cosmetics business, which ran successfully for 20 years.
Good for her.
Girl bossing.
Yeah,
girl bossing. For sure. Exactly. She got married. She moved to Naples. She had a daughter. She eventually became widowed. She killed her husband. And was very successful and in demand in her career. And this specifically was because she wasn't just selling makeup, you guys. She was selling a poison that either her or her mother invented. And she named it Acqua Tofana.
Love that. Oh. It's a great name.
Isn't that a great, it's a sexy name.
I mean, that's good to have also like that passive income, you know, along with the big cosmetic, you have like the other small business and the poison. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. It was this odorless, colorless, tasteless, and deadly concoction. It left no trace in victims' organs, making it the perfect murder weapon and made her very, very well off. This was at a time when financial independence for women was very rare, and she was just thriving with her daughter and herself selling this poison. I'm like so proud of her, you know? Acqua Tofana was made up of some arsenic, lead, and deadly nightshade, which is this toxic plant. Also, really cool name. I like love all these names. I'm so happy about it. It's very aesthetically pleasing. And the really cool thing about it, too, is that the symptoms were really slow to come about, and they involved vomiting and agonizing pains in the stomach. But the symptoms were also spread out over a couple of weeks. So it made it seem very normal. Like, oh, we live in, you know, the 1600s. It's normal to die. Exactly.
It's normal like, a lot to of die.
it is normal to die in the 1600s.
It's normal to die, period. We all die.
That's true.
Also, if that means you just like don't know what could have happened because if it's immediate, you're like, who's the people immediately around me and shit. But
exactly. It was very well thought
sneaky
out.
Sneaky as hell.
Yeah. It was very successful. Now, obviously, Italy in the 1600s was going through the Renaissance period, so it was a very enlightened time. It was fueled by a love of art and architecture, beauty, literature, all that good stuff. But women, for the most part, yeah, and murder. But women, for the most part, were still obviously treated like objects, and they were expected to be quiet and look pretty, and not in a kinky way, in a degrading way. Mm. Women's prospects were very limited. Obviously, they either got married, became sex workers, or were widowed. And this happened to women of all classes. Obviously, abuse within the household was common, and it was kind of like, oh, boys will be boys. It was very normalized. But Julia was not having it. Okay, girl bosses don't have that. That's not okay. Mm-mm. And she sold the poison in Naples and later in Rome, and she would package it in glass bottles with a photo of St. Nicholas on the front of it and labeled it Manna of St. Nicholas of Bari, which was a popular blemish ointment at the time.
She used a photo? How did she have a photo back then?
Or I think she like probably engraved it like St. Nicholas or something like that. I saw the bottles though. They're really pretty.
I also like how that's like some discreet packaging too. I appreciate as well.
It's so cool. And then she also sometimes converted the poison into powder and she would sell it in little compacts for women, like little blush compacts.
Ooh.
Isn't that cute?
So you could do the thing where you like open it and you could just like blow it onto people.
Well,
like,
that was exactly
right? How that's very did they tasteful.
Do
it?
How did she? So when you got said compact, what would you do? Would you just scrape a little bit into their soup?
Yeah. Well, that was more for like.
Their minestrone.
Yes. So with the compacts, I think that was more for hidden purposes. So like she would do the compacts to not attract any idea that it was a poison, and then they would put the powder actually usually into soups, funny enough, or drinks or whatever they made for their husbands. And then if it was the ointment, that would come in liquid form, and they would put just a couple of drops here and there in the foods. And she said they could dilute it, so like put it in like a big soup or whatever and just give it to them over a course of some weeks or some days or whatever, or do like a big dosage, but just make sure your soup is very flavorful. Okay.
Question. So do you think if a man was like, I have this little blemish and I want to like sneak into my wife's makeup to try and like cover it up, what if he like accidentally like used it and then like killed himself?
I mean, there aren't any recorded cases of that, but I would not be surprised if it happened.
Yeah.
Or like a quirky story where it's like, you know, she's selling the compacts and then she like mixes them up and she's like, I don't know if it's, is this the poison or is this the makeup? And it's just like, oh no.
Yes. Well, I mean, that probably did happen at some point, but also it was the 1600s. As I said, dying was normal.
Now it's just not in fashion.
It's just not as fashionable anymore. But yeah, so she would hide it really, really well. And so these wives, husbands, never thought to check on, you know, the wives' vanities, tables and stuff, because the poison was perfectly hidden in plain sight and it was easily available and it was really cute. Okay, I think the package is adorable and we're posting a picture of it because it's cute. And then she also had a soft spot for women in dire financial circumstances. So she'd sometimes just give the poison away to women who needed it, which is really great. Third rule of girl bossing, give back. She had a really tight circle. I know, she does seem sweet. She had a really tight circle of women who helped distribute it, including her daughter and a Catholic priest. Mm. And lots of women knew about it but never said anything because they were super grateful for her. And they were like, yeah, you know, she was able to free me from my terrible marriage but still get the, you know, the money from the man and all that sort of stuff, which is great. And she actually did this for 50 years, which is very impressive.
That's a long time.
It is.
Especially in a time where death was popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So eventually,
and then she was killing so many people too.
Yeah,
exactly. So eventually, a woman who was about to kill her husband with a bowl of soup, she regretted it. And she began yelling at him and telling him not to eat the soup. And he became very suspicious of her, obviously, and started beating her until she told the truth. Girl, you should have killed him. The woman was arrested and tortured until she finally spilled the beans. But by then, Julia already knew what was happening, and she fled to a church for sanctuary. And the church took care of her and wouldn't allow the authorities in. And remember, this was a time when the church was also very powerful. So she kept the operation going with nuns distributing the poison.
Yes, wow. Queens.
Yes, queens. But sadly, a rumor started going around that she had poisoned the water supply, which was not true. Why would she do that? And the church was invaded, and she was arrested. And then after being tortured, she confessed to killing over 600 men between 1633 and 1651. She was executed along with her daughter and three other women in her circle. And that's what happens when you girl boss too close to the sun.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good lesson for us all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Be a girl boss, but not too much of a girl boss.
Like, not too much. Like, just kill, like, 300 people. You know, like, 600.
Yeah.
You're trying too hard, girl.
600 is a little, exactly. 600 is a little excessive, you know? Yeah. But, you know, she broke the glass ceiling. So proud.
Very inspired.
I'm very inspired, too.
Thank you, Nika. That was wonderful. We'll be right back.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Welcome back, all you cadaver pals. So good news, makeup is really, as far as we know, no longer deadly. Thank goodness, because...
Well, some of it can like irritate your skin.
That's true, but deadly, less so. But obviously, back in the medieval times, and same as now, it's no surprise why people did this. It was to basically look younger and to attract a mate and whatnot. Even men would use it.
Is that what we wear makeup
attract
for?
Attract a mate.
That's what they used to do it for.
That's whenever I put eyeliner on, I'm like, I am ready to attract my mate.
Yeah, no, but same. Now it's just, we obviously use it for ourselves, but also to make us feel confident and feel bad. I don't know. We use it for whatever we want to use it for.
But back anyway, in the day, it was only for mate attraction.
Pretty much to make them think that you're young. Anyway, but it was also back in the day, you know, God was like, hey, you are given this particular look for a reason. Do not enhance it. Do not cover it up. This is how you are. So deal with it.
God. Wow.
I know. Well, the
my
church.
Body, my choice, God.
Exactly. But God created you as you are, and you're perfect, and you shouldn't have to do this. But then the church was like, no covering up your face. Anyway, women didn't listen, and especially Queen Elizabeth I. And she was obsessed with looking young. She is frequently depicted with very pale skin. Okay, so back in the day, much of the makeup was saturated with lead, mercury, sulfur, and or turpentine. Other rituals included rubbing animal poo or blood on their faces.
Yo, people still do that, right? They do the blood thing, right?
Is Nika that consulting real? They do, they do the vampire facials. That is
no, but
true.
Is that real? And is it actually blood?
Yes. They take your blood and then they process it through I don't know what exactly they do, but basically they mix it with good nutrients and then they put it back on your skin.
Ew.
So I don't like that, and I probably will never do that, but
I would.
Okay. Well, back in the day, they would use like animal blood and stuff, and they would like rub like
hell. I would do that too.
Okay. Well, anyway, fine. That's what they did, stuff like that. But also their makeup had lead and mercury and sulfur and stuff.
That's bad.
So that's bad. So anyway, Queen Elizabeth I refused a postmortem to be conducted, which I guess is an autopsy back in the day. And anyway, so they don't actually know the cause of her death. However, they think that it's quite possibly because of her makeup. That's what got her. However, she did die at the age of, Gabby, are you ready?
69. Yes, queen. 69? Yes, literal queen.
Yes. Wow. Which is old for, as we discussed, since death was so popular.
Yeah.
So, but back in her 20s, she contracted smallpox, which almost took her out. She pulled through, however, left some pretty crazy scars. So what she would do is use this product called Venetian Cerus. Cerus, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't know. We're probably wrong. We're always wrong.
we're always wrong. We love ourselves.
Yikes. I don't know how to pronounce things. Sorry. So it is also known as the Spirits of Saturn. And basically, it was like a skin whitener that was lead-based and also had vinegar because the pale white skin was super in vogue at the time. So Queen Elizabeth would use this religiously to cover up her smallpox scars. And at her death, it was reported that she had an inch of this makeup caked on her face. Like, wow. That's intense.
That's a lot to put on your face every day.
An inch. Because, like, so lead poisoning. And so they think that she perhaps had lead poisoning. So this product caused anemia, high blood pressure, abdominal pain, memory loss, muscle weakness, all kinds of stuff. But it also discolored your skin, hair loss, erosion of enamel on your teeth. So like what she's putting on her face is basically just disintegrating her. And so like it made her put on more. So I guess that's what the inch of makeup was about.
She didn't even have a face by the end.
Literally by the end, she had very few teeth. Her hair, she was losing her hair.
Oh my goodness.
So she was just in very bad shape. But so a lot of people say that that's probably what killed her. However, there was another. So for her coronation ring, she didn't take off for 45 years and it was like embedded into her skin. And so they like kind of undid that. And they think that she also could have gotten like an infection or something from that. Or perhaps it was cancer. They don't really know, but they most popular that it was the makeup that actually got to her.
Okay, with the coronation ring, did they just think it was infected? Was it made of something that could hurt her, or was it just...
No, it's because they, like, tried to cut it out of her skin, you know? And so then, you know, open wounds, how they...
I'm sorry, this is really gross.
It is
gross.
That's
really gross. She was just walking around living like that?
Yeah, it seems miserable. Anyway, so I got... you guys,
it's unhygienic.
I mean, I get it. Smallpox, though, could really make you look pretty freaky.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
Beauty kills.
It does. I got curious. So today's Queen Elizabeth, Her Majesty the Queen, I was like, what is her makeup routine? So I Googled it, you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not, what is it? It's not super specific. It's not, like, confirmed, and there's not, like, all of these super specifics. But here is what I found. First of all, I imagine she would smell so lovely and clean and whatnot. And so she uses reportedly, a rhubarb and rose bath and shower gel by Molton Brown.
Okay.
Her eau de toilette.
Okay.
Is Floris London, which is a white rose scent.
I figured she would go for rose, mm-hmm. Actually.
Same.
When you were talking. Yeah.
Same. Makes sense. And she apparently uses Clarins, which I've never heard of, probably because it's associated with like royal makeup. And I'm not royal. As
what?
Spoiler alert, I'm not royal.
You are a treasure though, Taylor. As we discovered in that treasure episode.
She's not old enough to be a treasure.
I have two more years.
You will
or
be.
One more.
Okay.
Wait, how old am I? Two more years. Okay. And then she has also reportedly the Ever Matte Powder is a must for Her Majesty. Her nail color is Essie's ballet slipper color.
That's so boring. I want to see some acrylics on her. Put some hot pink acrylics on the queen.
You know she's not going to do that.
So she only like does one nail color ever?
Yeah, a lot of people do that, I think.
Oh.
That's true.
And her lipstick, though, she uses pink variations of Elizabeth Arden. And I loved this fact. She uses the world's oldest hairbrush ever manufactured, which is the Oval Cherrywood Hairbrush, which is $75 on Amazon if you want it.
Oh my god.
But actually, shockingly, all of these products are relatively affordable. So you can look and smell just like Her Majesty the Queen.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to look just like her.
Because like, yep. No, my acrylic nails.
I need my acrylic nails. Lynn, I need my Tangle Teaser too. I don't use this oval whatever.
What is a Tangle Teaser?
Finest. Oh, it untangles your hair. It's such a good brush.
Okay.
Wait, are you supposed to brush your hair?
Yes, usually.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. If you did, fantastic.
Taylor, if they're hearing you, they're still listening.
Yeah, but fair enough.
Okay, whoa, stop the bullying.
I'm not
bullying. Stop fighting, girls.
I'm trying to tell Taylor to be secure in herself.
Okay, thank you all for listening. I know you are all so happy that you stuck through this whole episode. Until next week, bye.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It's hosted and produced and mixed in all kinds of crazy things by Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.